First of all, I want to thank you, Dorothy, for reading the scripture, the Gospel of John 14, 15 through 21. We continue this journey, this sermon series entitled Stories That Matter. And this week we hang a title on a story that abides in us. You see, we have been walking through these stories that matter, not just as ancient stories, not just sacred stories, but stories that still breathe and speak and shape, that shape us as the people of God. In the first week, we walked on the road to Emmaus with the disciples who were heartbroken, confused, and walking in the wrong direction. We discovered that Jesus meets us right there in our grief, in our questions, in our disorientation, and walks even when we don't recognize him. That story taught us that God is not distant from our pain, but he's a God who walks with us in it. Week two, we sat with a shepherd who calls his sheep by name. In a world full of noise and misinformation, competing voices, we learn again the shepherd's voice is still clear, is still trustworthy, still calling us toward life. The story taught us that discipleship begins with listening. In week three, Jesus told us, you know the way, not because the way is easy, not because the path is easy, not because the future is predictable, not because we have all the answers, but because the way is a person and that person walks with us. That story taught us that faith is not certainty, but faith is a companionship. And now we are in week four. And Jesus takes us deeper. He shifts this conversation. He widens the lens. He says, I'm not just walking beside you. I am placing my spirit within you. This is a turning point in this series, this turning point in the Gospels. This is a turning point in the life of every believer. John 14 is still spoken in the upper room, a room thick with fear and uncertainty and transition. Judas has left. Peter has been warned. The cross is hours away. And the disciples feel the ground shifting underneath their feet. And into that anxiety, Jesus speaks a word of abiding presence. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. The Spirit will be with you forever. You will not lose the story. Jesus is not just confronting them, but he is commissioning them. He is forming them into a community that will carry his story into the world. And my beloved, he is doing the same thing for us. We are living in a moment that feels a lot like an upper room. People are anxious. People are overwhelmed. Yes, people are grieving losses that they can't even name yet. People are trying to hold on to faith in a world that feels unsustainable. Into this moment, Jesus speaks the same promise, my spirit abides in you. This week's story is about the Spirit who holds us when we forget, guides us when the path is unclear, strengthens us when we feel weak, reminds us who we are, weaves our individual stories into a shared testimony, and keeps the story of God alive in us and through us. This is not just a story about God's presence. This is a story about identity, who we are as the Spirit-formed people. As a spirit-informed people. The story is about memory, how the Spirit preserves the teachings of Christ. This is a story about community, how the Spirit binds us together. This is a story of witness, how the Spirit empowers us to live lives that show the world we belong to Jesus. This is a story that abides. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, he starts out with you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus says this. He's not laying down a condition. He's revealing a connection. He's not saying prove your love by obeying. He's saying when love takes root, obedience becomes the fruit. This is not legalism. This is not performance. This is not fear-based religion. This is love in motion. From the beginning, scriptures tie love to embodied action. Deuteronomy 6 calls us to love the Lord our God and then to teach, bind, write, and live. Micah calls us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. John 13, 34 commands us to love one another as Jesus first loved. John 3 and 18 reminds us, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. In the Bible, love is never passive. Love is never abstract. Love is never just a feeling. Love is a way of life. When Jesus speaks of my commandments, he's not pointing to a list. He's pointing to a life. Love one another as I have loved you. Forgive 70 times 7. Do not do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The care for the least of these. Seek the first kingdom. First seek the kingdom. Take up your cross and follow me. These are not tasks to complete. They are practices that shape us into the likeness of Christ. In the upper room, Jesus speaks these words into a room filled with fear and confusion. Anxious disciples in a world outside that is hostile. If you love me, keep living the way I have taught you, even when I'm not physically there with you. This is not a command of pressure. It's a command of continuity. Jesus is saying, don't let your fear rewrite your story. Don't let anxiety reshape your identity. Don't let the world pull you away. Pull you away from the way I have shown you. We live in this world where we hear that too often, that love is some soft sentiment, some convenience, some preference, a world where people love with the words, but not with their actions. Where discipleship is reduced to beliefs instead of practices. Where Christians are often known more for what they oppose than what they embody. Let me say that again. Where Christians are often known more for what we oppose than what we embody. Jesus calls us back to love that looks like something, a love that forgives, a love that listens, a love that serves, a love that stands up for the vulnerable, a love that refuses to humanize, a love that crosses boundaries, a love that looks like Jesus. Love-shaped obedience looks like choosing compassion over convenience, slowing down enough to see people around us, practicing forgiveness even when the wound is still tender. Speaking truth with grace in a world addicted to outrage. Showing up for the vulnerable, the poor, the lonely, the grieving, the marginalized. Living generously with time, resources, and attention, and our presence. Resisting the pull of fear. Choosing courageously rooted in Christ. Building bridges and culture that profits from division. Letting your life preach before your words even come out. You see, my beloved, the world is watching, not to judge us, but to see if the story we're telling is the story that we're living. Let me say that. Not to judge us, but to see if the story we are telling is the story that we're living. Jesus is not calling us to perfection. I see that. I have to keep saying that. He is not calling us, but he is calling us to alignment, to live in such a way that when people see our lives, they can say they see his love, to live in such a way that our obedience becomes a testimony not to our goodness, but to God's grace. Love, this love expressed through our obedience, this discipline in motion, this is the story that abides within us. But here's the thing, we cannot do this alone. If keeping his commandments were simply a matter of willpower and good intentions, we would have gotten there by now. Disciples knew it that night in the upper room. Their willpower was going to fail them before the week was out. Peter would deny, they would scatter. Jesus knew it too. This is precisely why he does not stop at verse 15. He keeps speaking. He keeps speaking. He keeps promising because love expressed through obedience requires a power greater than our own. In 16 through 17, and even down when we go to, if we went to 26, so Jesus makes a promise that is both tender and revolutionary. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. The Greek word here is parakletos, is a rich meaning, the one who comes alongside, the one who stands with you, the one who strengthens you, defends you, speaks for you when you have no words. In the ancient world, this was a person who stood beside you in the court, not to condemn you, but to advocate for you, to protect your dignity, to ensure you were never alone. Jesus says, you will not face this world without help. You will not walk this way alone. My spirit will be your strength. My spirit will be your comfort. My spirit will be your courage. My spirit will be your guide. This is the fulfillment of God's ancient promises. Isaiah declaring, I will strengthen you and help you. Ezekiel's foretelling, I will put my spirit within you. Job prophesying, I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. The advocate is not a distant force. The advocate is God's nearness, with God's nearness made personal. When Jesus asks says something breathtaking, the advocate will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said before you. See, this is not nostalgia. This is preservation. Before there were written gospels, before there were apostle creeds, before there were councils, before there was a church building, there was the Spirit. Preserving the teachings of Christ, carrying the story from heart to heart, ensuring the truth was not lost, the Spirit brings scriptures back to our remembrance, convicts us when we drift, comforts us when we forget who we are, and anchors us when the world tries to rewrite our identity. In a culture of distraction, in a world of spiritual amnesia, in a time when people forget the story of God's love, the Spirit keeps the memory alive. Spirit does not only remind, but the Spirit also weaves. The Spirit weaves our stories, my story, your joys and wounds, our testimonies, struggles and victories and failures, and stitches them into a communal tapestry of grace. We see this in Acts. The Spirit forms a new community in Jerusalem, breaks down ethnic and cultural barriers when Peter speaks to Cornelius, and the Spirit guides the church through conflict in Jerusalem Council, and the Spirit redirects Paul's mission across the continents. The Spirit binds congregations together in a love weaved across cultures and centuries. The Spirit is the thread that holds the church together across generations, cultures, and continents. Beloved, many among us feel spiritually tired and emotionally overwhelmed and unsure of how to live faithful in a culture that shifts, beneath our feet. Every week, people feel isolated, communities feel fractured, truth feels contested, fear feels loud, hope feels fragile, In our moments, Jesus speaks the same promise. The advocate will be with you forever. The Spirit is not a past gift. The Spirit is a present companion. The one who strengthens you when you feel weak, comforts you when you feel alone, guides you when you feel lost, convicts you when you drift, as I said before, but does not abandon. Living a spiritual, a Spirit-led looks like listening before reacting, letting the Spirit slow you down, slow your anger down, sharpens your compassion. The world does not need a church that is simply informed. The world needs a church that is Spirit-formed, a church that listens deeply, a church that loves boldly, a church that stands for justice and courage, a church that embodies compassion consistently, a church that remembers the story faithfully, a church that can say with confidence, we are not alone, we are not powerless, we are not forgotten, and the Spirit abides within us. Movement number 3, 18 through 21. The story widens. Jesus looks his disciples in the eyes and says something they desperately need to hear, something we desperately need to hear. I will not leave you orphaned. In the first century world, to be orphaned was to be vulnerable, unprotected, without inheritance, without identity, without a place in the story. Jesus speaks directly to that fear. He says, you will not be left alone. You will not be abandoned. You will not be without family. My Spirit will make you a people. This is not just comfort. This is formation. This is not just reassurance. This is identity. This is not just a promise. This is a purpose. Christianity is not a solo sport. It's not a private spirituality. It's not me and Jesus. From the very moment the Spirit is poured out in Acts, the church becomes a Spirit-formed community that shared meals, that prayed together, that held possessions in common, that cared for the poor. They broke bread with glad and generous hearts. They lived stories bigger than themselves. The Spirit does not simply save individuals. The Spirit forms a people belonging to God, a people who belong to one another, a people who embodies the love of Jesus in the public. This is why the New Testament calls the church the body of Christ, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, living stones being built together. The Spirit makes us a community that carries the presence of God into the world. Jesus says something that pulls this whole arc together, because I live in you. Because I live, you also will live. This is resurrection language. This is identity language. This is communal language. The church becomes a living memory of God's love. We remember the teachings of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the justice of Jesus, the courage of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, the hope that refuses to die. We don't just remember with our minds. We remember with our lives. We remember with our worship. We remember through communion. We remember through service. We remember through justice. We remember through love in a world that forgets too quickly. The church remembers faithfully, or at least it should. This is Jesus saying, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and I have revealed myself to them. Beloved, that's the mark. The world sees Jesus through the people who love him. Not through the buildings, not through the branding, not through the programs, not through the statements, through our lives. A spirit-filled church becomes a living testimony, love that looks like Jesus, justice that reflects God's heart, compassion that interrupts cycles of harm, courage that stands in the face of fear, generosity that defies scarcity, community that resists isolation, hope that refuses to die. You see, the Roman world didn't say, look how correctly their theology is. They said, look how they love one another. That was the testimony. That was the witness. That was the story. And the world is hungry for a church that looks like that. A church that looks like Jesus. A church that listens before it judges, heals before it condemns, welcomes before it excludes. Living as a testimony looks like choosing kindness in a culture of cruelty. Letting gentleness be our witness. Practicing forgiveness in a world of grudge holding. Grudges showing the world what grace looks like. Standing with the vulnerable. Jesus always did that. He always did that. The world does not need a church that is louder. The world needs a church that is truer. Not just spirit formed inwardly, but spirit sent out outwardly. A church that remembers who it is and then walks through its doors and lives accordingly. A church that embodies the abiding presence of God so unmistakable that the watching world takes notice. A church can say with confidence, we are not alone, we are not abandoned, we are not powerless. The spirit abides in us and the world will see Jesus through us. This is our testimony. This is the community that spirit forms. This is the story that we live. Let me conclude this. I know y'all have places to be. Beloved, after all the walking, all the listening, all the wondering, all the wrestling, Jesus brings us to this moment, a moment where he says, you are not alone. My spirit abides in you. As I said, this is a turning point for the whole series. This hinges on which the story swings, because the truth is we cannot walk the way on our own. We cannot love Jesus like we should on our own. We cannot remember stories on our own. We cannot be a church on our own. Jesus never asked us to. He promised the Spirit, the advocate, the memory keeper, the story weaver, the one who abides in us. There will be days when you feel lost, days when the grief clouds your vision, days when fear gets loud, days when the world feels heavy, days when you may have forgotten the story, but the Spirit does not forget. The Spirit holds the memory of God, God's love, when your memory falters. The Spirit whispers truth when lies feel louder. The Spirit steadies your heart when anxiety shakes your confidence. You are held. There will be seasons when the way feels foggy, when the steps are uncertain, when future feels fragile, but the Spirit is the one who leads you into the truth. The Spirit is the one who nudges, convicts, redirects, and reassures. The Spirit is the one who says, this is the way, walk in it. You are guided. Your story is not isolated. Your testimony is not random. Your journey is not disconnected. The story is weaving your life together, a story bigger than our story, than you a story, you in a story of grace, a story of justice, a story of healing, a story of hope. The Spirit is stitching it into life, into this community, stitching it, this community into the story. God is telling the world, you are part of something holy. This is the heart of it. The Spirit forms us into people who live a story, a people who remember Christ's teachings, a people who embodies Christ's compassion, a people who practice Christ's justice, a people who reflect Christ's courage, a people who carry hope, a people who love in ways that make the world say, these people follow Jesus. I can see it. I can see it. So in this coming week, You are held by the Spirit. You are guided by the Spirit. You are strengthened by the Spirit. You are remembered by the Spirit. You are empowered by the Spirit. You are part of a story that will not fade, a story that will not fail, a story that abides. And as you go, may your life preach louder than your words. May your love look like Jesus. May your courage reflect the Spirit. May your compassion reveal the heart of God. May your presence be a testimony that the way is alive, the Spirit is moving, and the story continues. And let God's people say, amen and amen.